Joshua 24:14-18 and 22-24. Now, therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve our gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us along all the way that we went, and among all the people through whom we passed, and the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. Then Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. He said, then put away the foreign gods that are among you, and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. The people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and him we will obey.
This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Part of the Scout Law, which you'll hear a little later in the service, is a commitment by Scouts to be reverent. That reverence is meant to acknowledge the presence and action of God. Scouting organizations, both Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, uphold this commitment to reverence. And they also place a high priority on service. In this way, our scouting organizations prepare our young people for the walk of discipleship. Their commitments to God and to service are the same commitments that we hear echoed in the reading from Joshua, Joshua's farewell speech to the people of Israel today. You see, Joshua is about to hand over leadership. First, the Israelite people had followed Moses out of Egypt around the wilderness until he led them to the edge of the river before they crossed into the promised land. Then he handed leadership over to Joshua, who led them across the river and into the land that was promised to them. And now that they're settled, Joshua is handing over leadership again. But as he prepares to leave the people as their appointed leader, he gives them a challenge in his farewell speech. He challenges them to serve and to make firm their commitment to God. Now, the Israelite people have been at this crossroads many times before, where they have been asked to commit themselves to their one true God. And many times, they've struggled to keep their commitment, oftentimes finding themselves drifting off in other directions, chasing after ineffective and unreal gods. Idols, you might say. So in these verses that we heard this morning from Joshua, Israel is challenged to serve, challenged to make vows of service to the Lord. And in verses 14 through 24, this challenge or this promise happens more than a dozen times. Service of the Lord excludes service of other gods. We know that we are to serve the Lord our God from the first commandment of the Ten Commandments. And it's often been said that this first commandment implies the rest of all of the Ten Commandments. St. Augustine put it this way. He said, love God and do what you want. Now, he might have meant something different than what you're thinking when he said that. Here's what he meant. He said, if you love God, you will want to live for God and follow God in all that you do. That means if you're loving God and putting God as your very first priority at all times, you're going to do all of those other things that line up with following God and God's priorities. Today, we probably wouldn't say we're tempted by other gods or gods with other names other than the one that we worship here in this sanctuary. But Martin Luther made it pretty clear when he was explaining the first of the Ten Commandments that anything you fear or love or trust above anything else, that might be riches or yourself or prestige or anything else, that then becomes your God. So in that way, we probably do have to say that we serve more than one God, for we fear or love or trust above God something at some point in time. So we need to hear Joshua's word and challenge to us today. Will we serve the one true God? Our scouts are taught to serve. They're taught to serve their community, their peers, themselves as helpers. A significant priority is placed on service. For our scouting organizations believe that it helps our young people to prepare to become good adults, wise citizens, and influential leaders to their peers. Oftentimes, in order to earn the next rank in scouting, you have to have dedicated yourself to a certain amount of service. The verb serve, in the context of our scripture lesson in Joshua today, can be translated to mean worship. Worship the Lord your God. It can also mean to show loyalty. Show loyalty to the Lord your God. And it can also mean to obey. Obey the Lord your God. Now, like any good preacher, Joshua is the kind of guy who practices what he preaches. He says, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Three times the people of Israel respond, saying that they commit themselves to serving God, each time increasing the depth of the commitment that they make. And Joshua continues to challenge the people and to point out to them that a glib promise of loyalty cannot possibly perfectly fulfill the loyalty required by the Lord, who is holy. Half-hearted loyalty to the Lord, or fearing, loving, and trusting other gods, will have dire consequences for the people of Israel, Joshua warns them. But the people insist to Joshua that they will indeed serve the Lord. So then Joshua says, all right, but you are going to be witnesses against yourselves. That is, you need to be self-critical as you make this commitment. You need to confess your sins and your shortcomings to God. Just as you would accuse any violator of an agreement to which you were a witness, so you must examine yourselves to see whether, in fact, you do fear or love or trust God above everything else. The people did, and so must we. Our scouts are taught to be loyal and reverent, to be obedient and respectful. They're taught to be self-aware and compassionate in the face of the needs of another. Our scouts are learning how to be disciples. You see, disciples ask, is God always first in my life? Or do I, in fact, serve other gods by my sins, either the ones that I do or by not doing the things that I should? I don't think any of us need to be reminded that we sin, and we do it each and every day. We should not put God to the test, though. We should be taking steps forward in our relationship with God. We should be seeking to live more perfectly by God's grace and love. And we should never take God's forgiveness for granted. Yes, Jesus Christ does come to us with words of absolution and forgiveness each and every time that we ask. But that forgiveness, that grace, is not cheap and is not without cost. God loves and forgives us with hope and expectation that such love will lead to the renewal of our lives, will lead us to grow in our faith and to act in faith and in love. We're a lot like the audience that Joshua had. We are the ones who are to be moved and empowered by God's love in Jesus Christ to serve and to obey. Our gospel lesson in Mark taught us what it looks like to obey and to serve. You see, Jesus sends out his disciples in an unusual way. Most rabbis, when they would send out their students, their disciples, the ones that they were teaching and bringing along, would send them with the things that they need, would provide for them. Jesus is a different kind of teacher. He tells his disciples, his followers, to drop everything and go. To not take anything with them, well, except for a walking stick, a staff. No extra shoes, no extra clothes, no bed, no backpack, no food. To go. To focus on the task at hand, the mission to be accomplished. So Jesus sends out his followers two by two, giving them an instruction not to take anything else, especially anything of value. No money, no bag. They're to rely fully on God and God's power, God's provision, to serve and obey, to have no other God other than that which they know in Jesus Christ through God the Father and the power of the Holy Spirit within them. This teaching from Jesus as he sends out his disciples reminds me a lot of what it sounded like when my brothers were tapped out to join Order of the Arrow in Boy Scouting. Order of the Arrow in Scouting is like an honors society. It takes a special invitation to become a part of the Order of the Arrow. Those who get tapped out to become a part represent the qualities of the best scouts in the troop. They represent a commitment to scouting alongside upholding the principles within scouting. They're held to a higher standard and expected to live up to it. Now, part of the initiation into Order of the Arrow is a special camping trip where there's an unusual packing list. You're only to bring a backpack with a few items, things like work clothes and boots and gloves, maybe a compass, your pocket knife, some bug spray and sunscreen, and a water bottle. No food, no cooking supplies, no fire starter, and depending on the council, no tent or sleeping bag. Nothing but yourself, and a few small essentials like bug spray and sunscreen. The premise is that you have learned your scouting skills. You know the essentials, and it's time to see what you have within you as a scout. The point for Jesus in sending out his 12 disciples is clear. They need to know what's within them as disciples of Jesus Christ. They need to be able to rely on God and God's power within them rather than their own intuition, their own money, their own abilities. In reading the scripture, it sounds like they headed out immediately. There wasn't time to go home and pack a bag. There wasn't time to prepare for the physical needs that they might have on the journey. And yet the disciples go out. And when they return, they have wonderful and miraculous stories of how God was with them, of how God worked in them and through them, of the ways that their faith was grown and stretched, and the amazing miracles that occurred. The key thing here is to see in Jesus' teaching and in the power of the Holy Spirit that the disciples had within them everything they needed. The same is true for us. We have what God has already instilled within us. The power that God has given us is more than enough. When Jesus sent out his disciples, he told them to keep their focus on the ministry at hand. We need to learn this same lesson. It's not about the possessions we have or the things we think we may need for the journey of faith. It's about having a vision for the lost and a willingness to receive God's gifts and God's power in our lives. It means we need to be ready. Ready to go. Each person receives the Holy Spirit and what God gives you to use. So let's take some notes from our scouts. Let's be reverent and loyal, obedient and trustworthy, prepared and ready for how God will use us. We've been given a God. We've committed ourselves to our Savior. And that has given us a mission. We've been gifted with all that we need to go and make it happen. God has given us the gifts needed to match the needs of the world. What God expects from us is to be in mission and ministry, to be in service to the world. So what are we waiting for? Amen.